challenges to get the speed internet. So, he seems to be pretty good over there, but with them every now and then they are. That's pretty useful.
So both said we're going to switch around the order today a little bit. So it'll be a Seder that's not Aruch. You follow me? And again, I hope that you have these pages because it's always a good idea to see it inside. And we're looking at the Mitzvah of Heseba, which is Perek Lamed Dal. We're going to start with the Rambam. As he quotes it here, "B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam laharos es atzmo." You know that this is a very famous Rambam of laharos es atzmo. Our girsa is liros es atzmo, which is more of an inner kind of mode, you know, in your mind. But the Rambam seems to say that there's more than just what you're thinking in your mind. You've got to demonstrate on the outside, ki'iluhu bi'atzmo yotza ato mishibud Mitzrayim, like he himself now left Yitzias Mitzrayim. And I mentioned to you on many occasions that there's a minug in, amongst especially Iraqi Jews and other Sfarnim, that you put a big pan of water in on the floor and the whole family lines up and everyone jumps over the pan. My son has other minhagim where he throws out frogs and stuff like not real frogs, but anyway. So that's called laharos es atzmo. Yeah, you get whipped or something. Yeah. That's better for Erev Yom Kippur, but yeah. In any event, the Rambam quotes the pasuk sonu hotzi Hashem misham. Lefichach. So let's underline that word lefichach. Kishesoid other malayla zet tzarch lechol velishtos v'umesiv derech cherus. So let's be medayik. The main diuk, there's a secondary diuk here, but the main diuk in the Rambam is that Heseva is part of the mitzvah of Chayev Adam Leharos Es Atzmo. How does he demonstrate that he himself went out for Cheres now? By doing Heseva. Another diuk in the Rambam, which we'll have to talk about a little bit later, is that the Rambam seems to assume that in a general sense, Achila and Shasiyah requires Heseva. You know, he hasn't pinpointed Matzah or Dalet Kosos as an exclusive mitzvah of Haseba. In other words, the impression you get from the Rambam is that the entire Seudah should be eaten by Haseba. In any event, what the Seder HaAruch is medayik in the Rambam in the next paragraph is that Haseba is Doraisa. Now that's a pella. To say that Haseba is Doraisa based on this one word, Lefichach, because the Rambam in his Reisha establishes a mitzvah Doraisa, then the conclusion, for example, would be that if a person ate, let's take the case of matzah, that would be a more profound and easy case. He ate his matzah on the night of Pesach without a seva. Well, if that be the case, he has forfeited a mitzvah da'oraisa. And if you take a look in the Rambam, in that very same halacha, the Rambam opens up by quoting the pasuk v'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa, and he includes within that a context, again, that's the next line in the Rambam, which we haven't read yet, that he has to drink Dalet Kosos. That's also included under Lefichach. The Rambam has two subcategories, two paragraphs included under Lefichach. He has, number one, Heseba. Number two, he has the drinking of four cups. Now, we know that the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is only Derabbanan. So how could the Rambam establish that Lefichach, that because of this mitzvah Doraisa, of Vizacharta Kiev Raisa, you're therefore obligated the mitzvah Dalet Kosos? And that makes it into a mitzvah Doraisa? Nobody would say that Dalet Kosos is a mitzvah Doraisa. Everybody agrees that mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is the Rambana. So here, Rabosa, we have a classic case, I think, of what we call a chiv drabanon with a kiyum doraisa. And we've seen that on many occasions. For example, the Rambam holds that tefillah is counted in the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Ramban says, well, the chiv tefillah itself is drabanon. even though the kiyum mitzvah is certainly doraisa, v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, but the chiyuv is derabbanan. Or, let's take the example of a mitzvah like pirsum hanes, on Chanukah, on Purim, we have a kiyum doraisa. Now, exactly what the kiyum doraisa is, not clear. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudal seems to assume it's a kiyum doraisa of Shira and Halel. On the other hand, there's a Rabbeinu David Abavli, or Daniel Abavli, who seems to assume that the mitzvah is Kiddush Hashem, because whenever you publicly declare God's miracles, that's considered a Kiddush Hashem. There may be other possibilities. But you know what? The easiest case, I think, in my mind, of a Chiyuv Derabbanan and a Chiyuv Doraisa would be Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avelim, Hachnosas Kala. Any mitzvah of chesed is really a chiyuv derabbanan, but a chiyuv doraisa. So it's the rabbanan that established bikur cholim. The Torah didn't establish bikur cholim, but the Torah says v'ahavta es re'acha kamocha. So there's a chiyuv doraisa. Here too, I think this would be an appropriate application of that distinction between the chiyuv and the chiyuv. The chiyuv is the rabbanon. Nowhere does the Torah require me to do a seba. Nowhere does the Torah require me to drink dalit kosos. But nevertheless, the chiyuv is the orais according to the Rambam. That's what lies here in the word lefichach.
Rabbi, just a text assumption. You're assuming everything after lefichach pertains to laharas atzatzmo?
Correct.
Because he ends up saying shir is a revius. That has nothing to do with lefichach. When I read it, I assumed the first sentence is what matters. Then he goes on and keeps saying a bunch of other things.
Well, if you don't want, let me just borrow the Rambam for you. I'll give it right back. I don't mean to abscond with the Rambam.
It's the last one on this page.
Okay, great. Zion. So the Rambam says b'chol dor v'dor. That's halacha vav. Then he gets halacha zayin. He says lefichach number one. Number two,
it's part of lefichach.
Also part of lefichach. It's in the
end,
same halachim.
The revius at the end is also part of lefichach.
In other words, we have here a chiyuv derabbanan and a chiyuv doraisa. But now we have to know how you makayim the chiyuv derabbanan. Those are already details. You know, what kind of wine you have to use, how much wine you have to drink, who's obligated in drinking wine. Those are all details in terms of the chiyuv derabbanan. But the lefichach, which combines together number one, haseva, number two, dalit kosos, that is a lefichach that links these two chiyuvim derabbanan to the mitzvah that the Rambam establishes as doraisa. Of Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv L'Haros Atzmo Shenemar Hotzi Osonu Hotzi Hashem Misham. Correct? So again, as far as the details, and it's how much wine you have to drink, or how to do Haseba, and when to do Haseba, that's already details within the context of the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv, again, is only Derabbanan. Nobody would say that there's a Chiyuv Haseba Min HaTorah. Derabbanan are going to tell you, you see, We've discussed this on many occasions, that there are certain mitzvos that are vague. I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but I mean the Torah deliberately left them undefined. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Does it mean I have to walk down the streets and kiss and hug everybody? Well, some people would say that that's what I have to do. But the Rabbanan are going to take these more or less vague or general kinds of mitzvahs, like V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, that's very vague, very general, and they're going to pinpoint the exact pu'ulot, the exact maisim, that I have to implement in order to fulfill that great mitzvah. So the Rabbanan are giving me a specific chiyuv, and now through that chiyuv, I'm a kayim a mitzvah do'oraisa. The Torah says, V'samachta b'chagecha. What does that mean, V'samachta b'chagecha? So the Rabbanan are going to tell me, you have to drink wine, you have to eat meat. The Torah might have a mitzvah avelus. Again, where is the mitzvah avelus in the Torah? I don't know. It's probably in the parasha of
Aaron.
Maybe in Aaron, maybe in the Bnei Aaron, I don't know. Maybe it's back in Sefer Bereishis, in the case of Mises Yaakov. You have to know where it is. But wherever it is, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, which the Rambam counts in Taryag, of avelus. Now the Rabbanan are going to give me 11 different ways in which I fulfill that mitzvah avelus. So that's the concept of a general undefined mitzvah, And the Torah doesn't tell you in what method and with what specific ways I should fulfill that general mitzvah. That's called a chiyuv derabanan with a kiyum d'oraisa. It's fascinating. Just one more point here before we go on, and Sam, the floor is yours in a second. He quotes here a she'iltos who has a medrash that seems to derive Dalit Kosos from a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, "Vayasev Elokim es ha'am." And Chazal say in this medrash, "Mikan Omer of Buseinu Afilu Oni BiYisrael Lo Yochal Ad SheYesev." Now watch this is wild. The pasuk says, "Vayesev Hashem es b'nei Yisrael." What does "Vayesev Elokim es ha'am" mean?
Took them in
a circuit as Ruach, right? That they shouldn't see the Melchama v'Shav Mitzrayim. And the medrash sees in that a symbolism, if you will, or some sort of a code word for Heseva. And you might get the impression that if that be the case, Haseva should be Doraisa. No, that's the furthest from the truth. What we're talking about in Vayesev is some sort of a remez and an asmachta, but it's not a Doraisa. It doesn't mean that because God took us around, therefore we have to be Mesiv. But there's a play on words here, so to speak, a gzera shava between Vayesev and Haseva. Now, obviously, on a more profound level, we would have to understand the Medrash of Chazal. You know, what's the connection here? You know, you can't tell me that two parshiyos using the same word and have no connection one with the other should be referring to the same concept. That in the Vayesev, God is indicating the mitzvah of Haseva. What does Vayesev over there have to do with Haseva? So that I leave for you. That's not for us now. Yes, Sam, you wanted to say something before.
I was going to ask, are the halacha numbers from the Rambam, or was that put on by an editor?
The numbers? As far as I know, I'm not sure about the numbers per se, but I think the division between one halacha and the other is the Rambam's division. I can't tell you for sure 100% that the Rambam called it Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And the manuscript editions of the Rambam, which again the Frankel is built on, they're going to try to clarify. Very often there'll be a discrepancy between what you'll see here and what you'll see in the Mishnah's Rambam, for example, right? In the printed Rambam.
You can go to the museum and see it right on the wall that
they have. They have the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Rambam. I don't know if they have the Mishnah Torah. I don't think the Mishnah Torah in the Rambam exists, as far as I know. But the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Rambam exists. That's really something to see. If you've never seen it, it's kedai to go.
I was also curious.
So the Rambam, I think, divide up the paragraphs.
There is no halacha of Dalet Kosos except in this context of Chayrus. There's not. No,
I don't know.
Matzah, right? Matzah, Mar, Pesach, and here.
You're talking in the Rambam, or
yeah, the Rambam.
Oh, this is where the Rambam. This is the real thing.
It's an odd place to smuggle it in.
Well, no, because the Rambam wants to tell you something very important. If he would have had, let's say, a perek that would open up a Chayav Adam, Bein Ish, Lisha, Lishtos, Dalet Kosos, Bel HaPesach, you'd get the impression that the mitzvah is only Derabbanan. The Rambam wants to tell you there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what the Rambam does is, and it's a very organized structure, first he presents the mitzvah d'oraisa, then with the word Lefichach, he tells you, now you're ready to embark and understand what Dalet Kosos is.
So the Dalet Kosos is a facet of Chayrus, nothing in itself. Like somehow four is chayrus because rich people or free people drink four and poor people would never drink four.
Well, no, all that is... Oh, you mean the number four or are you talking about itself?
No, it's not... The fact that it's mentioned only under chayrus... If somebody asked me, okay, I'm not very learned, like Dalet Kosos, I wouldn't say it's a question of chayrus. It's Dalet Kosos. The Chachamim said you have to drink Dalet Kosos.
So that's what the Rambam wants to tell you, that's wrong.
That it's under chayrus.
It's under chayrus, right. Okay, so and again, the significance of that is that you're being Mekayim and Mitzvah d'oraisa. And here he has a very fascinating analysis in the footnote, this footnote number 7, based on a she'iltos, that... What happens in the case of a student, a disciple, who's sitting on Leil HaSeder at the Seder of his Rebbe? And here we have a mitzvah called Kvod Rabbo. The mitzvah of Kvod Rabbo is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's derived from a pasuk. Es Hashem l'kechet tira, es l'rabbos tamidi chachamim. Heseba would not be appropriate as a behavior, as a posture in front of your Rebbe. On the other hand, if I were to argue that Haseba is a mitzvah d'oraisa, then a mitzvah d'oraisa of Haseba could possibly trump the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kvod Rabbo. And he says the following. He says, Talmid Eitzel Rabbo Eino Mesiv. he doesn't do a seba. Again, if the Rav is mochel on his cover, there's something different. But let's say the Rav insists on his cover, right? Yeah, I know one yeshiva in Brooklyn. I didn't learn in that yeshiva, but I often visited that yeshiva to hear classes. And in that yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva was always makpid on his covers. It wasn't enough that you had to stand in his presence, but when you left his presence, you had to walk backwards. And if you walked by turning your back to him, he would call you back, and then you'd have to walk backwards again.
He would buzz you out. He had a buzzer, he would not open the door.
Right, oh, he would not open the door, okay. I thought he called you back, but maybe I'm talking before he had the buzzer, But in any event, you're at your Rebbe's Seder, and guess what? He doesn't give you the green light to do a Seba. So now the Shiltas wants to justify, why does the mitzvah of Seba fall short of the mitzvah of Kvod Rabo? And he answers the following, Adifus mitzvahs Kvod Rabo shi doraisa, mi mitzvahs haseba shi derabonan. Now this is fascinating, because what that means is that even if there's a chiyuv derabonan with a kiyum doraisa, and therefore you would have upgraded the status of this derabonan to a doraisa, haseba now takes on such a tremendous significance that you makayim the mitzvah doraisa, maybe that mitzvah doraisa should override the mitzvah doraisa of Kvod Rabo. But he's saying no. The mitzvah of Kvod Rabo in and of itself is doraisa. The mitzvah of Haseba in and of itself is a chiyuv derabanan. And even though Haseba entails what kind of kiyum? A kiyum doraisa, but nevertheless, since the chiyuv itself is derabanan, in other words, when you compare two mitzvahs, you compare them on the level of chiyuv, not on the level of kiyum. On the level of kiyum, both Kvod Rabo and Haseba have a kiyum doraisa. Therefore, they would be, I don't know, it'd be a stalemate. I don't know, you'd have to work out the details. But in a case where the chiyuv is on two different levels. So, for example, if I had a choice between Kvod Rabo and Bikur Cholin, then which would come first, according to the Shiltas? Kvod Rabo, why? Even though Bikur Cholin is a kiyum of Yaftal Reach Kamocha, but as far as the chiyuv is concerned, it's only a chiyuv derabanan. Then he goes on to say that the Prima Gadim quotes that im ha'ein ha'av mochel lebino, then even in the case of a father, you're not allowed to do haseba at the table of your father. Now all of us here, I think would unanimously agree that they had many, many seders, or sdarim, I guess you'd say it, in the presence of their father. Is that not true? Okay, never. Somebody lost his father at a young age, maybe it's not relevant. But for most of us, Baruch Hashem, we had fathers. I mean, most of my memories between me and my father are from the Leil HaSeder. Sometimes I got into trouble. But anyway, so now it comes out that maybe basically we have to forfeit the entire mitzvah of a seva in all these cases. So he says the following, it all depends upon the mechila of the father. If the father's not mochel, then just like in the Shiltos, the Rebbe wasn't mochel, Kibbud Av is certainly a mitzvah shel Torah, Haseba now becomes a chiv d'rabbanon, then the mitzvah shel Torah of Kibbud Av would trump the mitzvah, would overshadow the mitzvah of Haseba d'rabbanon. Now, what I wanted to add here is that Tosvis in Masechta Psachim assumes that in the absence of a father explicitly telling his son not to do a seva, Tosfos says you could assume that the father was mochel. In other words, we have an umdina of mechila. But in the case of a Talmid Eitzel Rabo, we don't have that umdina. So the Rav would have to explicitly be mochel. Now, I was wondering, I never asked my Rebbe this question, but his father was also his Rebbe. So what would be in that case where, you know, there's an overlap of two personalities or two categories in one human being? You're going to get two for the price of one. He's my father and he's my Rebbe. On the one hand, Tosfos says in the case of a father, there's an umdana of mechila. You know, the basic fabric of that relationship between a father and a son is a love relationship. In the case of a Rebbe and a Talmud, there is no assumption of mechila. So let's say I don't know what my father slash Rebbe is thinking. I can't read his mind. Would I do a seva? Would I not do a seva? Do I say the primary mode of our relationship is one of fear? Or, right, a fear of having an awe of my Rebbe? Or do I say, no, the primary mode of this relationship is one of the love of a father for a son? and therefore I assume mechila.
What does Shlomo do in the face of David HaMelech?
Yeah. Well, what does the Rav do in the face of his father? His father was his Rebbe Muva. And I have a suspicion that, again, you might have to be a Soloveitchik for this, but that the primary mode in that relationship is one of Rebbe Talmud. Again, I'm not a psychologist, so this has to be studied in the psychological works. Maybe this is called some sort of a dysfunctional, what word am I looking for, Sam, when you have a psychological, something that's abnormal. Dysfunction. But the Rav claims that he never got kissed by his father. And when he saw his father, which was supposedly, he said goodbye to his father, which was probably going to be the last time he would say goodbye to his father, he got a handshake. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's dysfunctional. I don't know.
Ditto.
It is dysfunctional.
I'm saying ditto for me. Handshake.
You only got a handshake.
The Chosen.
Oh, by Chaim Potok? He talks about that. Maybe he's talking about Soloveitchik. I don't know. I heard a rumor that the whole book is about... Okay, anyway. I don't know.
But why wouldn't Tosfos take the approach that if I don't know whether my father's mocha or not, Safik Dirai Silchom?
Again, he has an umdana. I don't know. You have to know when umdana works against the Dorai Sirah, and whether it's a Roman with a Miyadikar or not a Miyadikar. But I'm just saying, on a philosophical level, it means that the primary motive of the relationship is a love relationship. Now, in the case where he's also my Rebbe, I don't know what the Tosfos would say. He's my Rebbe and I have fear and awe, but on the other hand, he's my dad.
I never heard the Rav refer to his father as Mori Avi instead of Avi Mori.
So what, first comes Mori and then comes Avi? Is that what you mean?
Right.
Okay, that's a deal. I don't know. Lenny, did you want to say something? Well, Yosef, you want to say something?
Baba Machteret gives you an assumption.
Right, so let's see. What would be... Somebody was saying that the father would not... If the father would not kill the son.
Right.
So what are you saying? If the father says Rebbe, maybe he wouldn't kill the guy? I don't think we want to say that.
There's an implicit assumption that the father would be Mochel the son.
Right. In other words, the love relationship is so overwhelming. But I'm just asking the following question. That assumption doesn't apply in a relationship between a Talmud and his Rebbe. So I'm just wondering, what if you combine that into overlap those two relationships?
I have the numbers on that.
You know, Yosef, you're not happy with what I just said.
Avidat Rabo, Avidat Aviv, Avidat Rabo Kodemet.
Right. And therefore what? That if he's... So let's see again. What would be if he's both my Rebbe and my father? So just one second. Again, that Mishnah is trying to set up a conflict situation, but that's not really relevant to my discussion. I'll tell you why. My conflict is different than the conflict in the Mishnah in Bat Metzia. There the question is, I have to decide between who's Aveda to return. Here I'm talking about a different conflict. My conflict here is, what is the overriding or essential mode of the relationship? Is it the Rebbe Talmud relationship, or is it the Av Ben relationship? You're right. In a case of it's either or, I have my Rebbe here and my father here, and we separate the two personalities, then you're right. Rabo Kodemus. Why? Because that's even a greater mitzvah. Again, even that has to be understood.
Olam Hazeh.
I don't want anyone walking out of here thinking that Kibud Av Va'Em is less than Kibud Rabo, even though the Mishnah in Bava Metzia seems to indicate that.
I have a conceptual suggestion. Okay, what you're grappling with is whether a father is a type of person who just forgives his son, or a father-son relationship is something that's liable, that lends itself to forgiveness, whereas for instance, Melach Shemach HaKavayde ain't quite their Mahu.
Right.
Okay? And I'm sure that would be true even for her son.
Right.
Because
he can't
be mindful of the relationship.
Right.
So if you say the relationship cannot be Mahu, so if it's a father who's also ready, he can't be mindful of that. But if you're talking about the psychology...
He can or cannot?
He cannot.
But why is that? I don't know if I'll
say. Because it's not... No, it's not kind of thing that's forgivable.
Wait, hold on a second. What we're talking about, a Rebbe and a Talmud?
Yeah.
So again, if you are at your Rebbe's Seder, you will do Hesed, right, but as long as you get Mechila. I don't want you to
I got it.
Right. Okay. It's not Bell. Okay, just want to make sure. I was mistaken in what I heard.
Let me not carry on.
All right, so let's go on, because again, a lot of things I want to talk to you about, and we do want to get to the sugya of Yichid Lo Bayis. Oh, now watch this. The Rambam writes, okay, you have the Rambam open, so you're looking in Halacha Ches, and until now you were looking in what, Halacha Zayin, right? So if we open up to Halacha Ches, the Rambam says the following: Vishar Achiloso Ushtioso Im Hesiv Harezem Meshubach. Okay, so we skipped a little in the Rambam. The Rambam says that at the time of Achilas Matzah, at the time of Shtiyas Dalet Kosos, we need Heseba. And then if he eats or drinks without Heseba, he has the mitzvah of Matzah. He has fulfilled the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, but he forfeits the mitzvah of Heseba. Then the Rambam writes, having discussed and addressed the case of matzah and dalet kosos, sharach ilosushtiyosim hesiv harezem meshubach. Now again, in the terminology that we use, when we see harezem meshubach, what does that mean?
It's just a hidur.
Okay, maybe it's just a hidur, but it's also what? Do you know what word I'm looking for? It starts with a kuf, ends with a mem. Has a unit of, and a unit of vav in the middle, right? It's a kiyum, right? That's what we speak about when we see the word arezem meshubach. It's a kiyum mitzvah. Now, here we want to ask the following question: how do we view haseba? The requirement of haseba, is it built into the achila and shasiya, or is it a separate, independent mitzvah? And this is what he quotes here in footnote number 10 in the name of the Brisker Rav. And he says the following: if the mitzvah of Haseba is a subcategory, if it's an extension or a detail or a condition in the Achila and the Shasiyah itself, that would only apply in the Achilas Mitzvah, in Achilas Matzah, or in Shtiyas Mitzvah, in the case of Shtiyas Dalet Kosos. But there would be no possibility of saying that Shara Achiloso would now lend itself to Haseba. The only logical explanation to justify the Rambam's position that there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Haseba B'Shara Achiloso is that you assume that Haseba is a mitzvah unto itself. And truth be told, that's exactly what we saw in the Rambam in Halacha Vav Halacha Zayin with the Lefichah. The Rambam says, Chayiv Adam Laharis Atzmo. Now, if he could be Maris Atzmo B'sharach Iloso Shtiyoso, that's also a kiyum of V'zacharto Ki Eved Ha'iso, whatever posting the Rambam quotes. Is Memela what the Brisker Rav is saying? I think he's strengthening our original position. What was our understanding of the Rambam? That Haseba is not some sort of a t'nai or a condition in the mitzvah of matzah, where there's a mitzvah achilu, but it has to be an achilu with Haseba. Nor is Haseba a condition in the mitzvah of shtiyas dalet kosos, but Haseba is a chiyuv d'rabbanan with a kiyum d'oraisa of chayiv adam laharos es atzmo. And if I can accomplish that goal of Laharis Atzmo B'Sharach Iloso V'Shtiyoso, then I obtain that kiyum of Laharis Atzmo. However, the Rama makes a distinction between Matzah Shtiyas Kosos on the one hand and Sharach Ilos on the other. In the case of Achilas Matzah and Shtiyas Dalet Kosos, the Rama establishes a Chiyuv Haseba, albeit the Rabbanon, but a Chiyuv, a requirement of Haseba. In the case of Sharach Ilos and Shtiyoso, as Yossi said very well, there's an embellishment of the mitzvah, Areza Meshubach, but the Rama never says that he's obligated. So therefore, we have to postulate, I think, the following principle according to the Brisker Rav's Hakira. Number one, that there definitely is a meaning and a significance, a kiyum to Haseba as a separate independent mitzvah. That's clear. But in addition, the Rabbanan established a chiyuv of Haseba as part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's an extension of the mitzvah. Do you remember, Rabbos, that when we discussed Ner Chanukah, for those of you who might remember, we were wondering about the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Is that an extension of Ner Chanukah, or is it a mitzvah unto itself? We were wondering, for example, if you recall the Prima Gadim's Chakira, if let's say I forgot to recite the bracha on the first candle, can I still recite the bracha on the second candle? Let's say it's the second night of Chanukah. Is there a bracha on the Mahadrin? We had a whole shtickle Torah from Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, for those of you who might recall, about this chakira, whether or not Zekeli Yavehu, in the case of Mahadrin, extends the original mitzvah. We made a distinction in Mila between, you know, Tzitzin Sheinu Ma'akva before he removed his hand from the Mila, after he removed his hand from the Mila, that within the context of the extended Maisa, it could be that Zekeli Yavehu extends the mitzvah. Okay, so that Chakira is the same identical Chakira that the Brisker Rav applies to Haseba. Do we see Haseba as an extension of the mitzvah of Achila in the case of Matzah, in the case of Dalet Kosos, or is it a separate mitzvah of Haseba? Any opportunity I could have to eat or drink Haseba, that's a kiyum. And the answer is that there are two different mitzvahs of Haseba. Haseba is a hybrid, complex mitzvah. There's one mitzvah Haseba that was established by the Chacham as a built-in condition in the mitzvah of Matzah or in the mitzvah of Shtiyas Dalet Kosos. Ad kedei kach that the Rambam vacillates back and forth till he's mechadish to you that if you ate the matzah without a seva, you were yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Question is, would you have to eat another matzah? That's going to be a whole to do on the next page if you ate the matzah without a seva. But then the Rambam says that don't lose the, you know, the forest for the trees. Is that how you say it? Right, because in addition to the mitzvah of Haseva that's built in, it's a subcategory, it's an extension of Matzah and Dalet Kosos, there's a separate independent mitzvah of Haseva. Now, the way that the Seder Arch presents the Brisker Rav, if you look at the text, it's a bit problematic. I would like to write a letter to the editor here. He says the following, that once the Rambam establishes that Haseva is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, he says, Lefi zeh, therefore, im ochal matzah o shasa dalikos below Haseva, yotze yedei chovasa. Again, he was negligent, he was remiss in his mitzvah of Haseva, as a separate independent mitzvah, but his mitzvah of matzah, his mitzvah of shtiyas dalikos was complete. Why? How do I prove this? Simply because the Rambam says that if you eat or drink the balance of your se'uda in a position of Haseba, raise a Meshubach. That proves to me something about matzah without Haseba? No! There are two dimensions to Haseba. That's the letter I want to write to the editor here. As far as one dimension, which is Achshar Achilos Ashtiyoso, okay, you're right. That doesn't impinge or undermine my mitzvah of Achilos Matzah if I ate without Haseba. That's a reza meshubach, to extend and fulfill Haseva as a kiyum bifnei atzmo, as a, he calls it a mitzvah bifnei atzmo. That's fine. That's not going to undermine matzah. But then there's a different mitzvah Haseva. And here the Rabbanan established that the mitzvah of achilas matzah should be fulfilled by Haseva. The mitzvah shtiyas dalet kosos should be fulfilled with Haseva. Now he says, "Im ochal matzo shosa yai below Haseva." I don't know. Yotzi dechovaso, lo yotzi dechovaso. I don't know. I have no clue. There's no clue in the Rambam here, based on Sharachilos Ushtiyoso, that if you ate matzah without a Haseva, that's fine. You know, you yotzi the mitzvah matzah. I don't know that that's true.
Are there other examples? And this is the Araisa where the Rabbanan were misaki.
Excellent. So on that, he has a long discussion, which I'm trying to remember exactly what page it's on. Just give me a second. And he quotes, I think, the Ran in Kriyat Shema. Where is that? Okay. One second. Oh, here it is. It's right here. It's a Tosin Sukkah. I'm sorry. It's also the Ran in Pesachim. I don't know if he quotes the Ran in Pesachim. Das HaTosis V'Sukkah. You have it? This is the
footnote 7.
This is the end, the second half of footnote 7. If a person is not Makayim a mitzvah d'Rabbanon, does that undermine his Kiyum d'Oraisa? Now, there are two ways of understanding this. One way is to say, do the Rabbanon have the authority to undermine a mitzvah d'Oraisa? And the other way of understanding is, did the Rabbanon go ahead and exercise that authority? In other words, Im Tim Tzolom, the Rabbanon have the samchus to be oker mitzvah d'oraisa, to set up a new condition on a mitzvah d'oraisa in the absence of fulfillment of which you forfeit the mitzvah d'oraisa, did they in fact exercise that authority? So for example, the Ran in Kriyat Shema, I don't see it here right now in the footnote, the Ran says that min rabbanan, you have to recite Kriyat Shema in the following positions. I'm talking about Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis number 1 and Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis number 2. In Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, you if you're, let's say for example, you're standing, you would have to remain standing. In Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, if let's say you're standing, you'd have, if you're sitting, just 1 second, did I get this right? If you're sitting, you'd have to remain sitting. Again, I'm not going through all the details. You'll go through the Mishnah Berurah and you'll get all the details. But fundamentally, this is the Takonis Chachamim, Lafuke, anybody remember? To exclude which Shita? Which Shita? Beit Shammai, excellent. Because Beit Shammai says Bishalguka means Bishchiva. Not Bisman Shchiva, but Bishchiva. And Bekumecha means Bekima. And the Gemara tells us that if you are Makayim Beit Shammai, then you forfeit. Sorry? Right, okay, I didn't want to mention that. I'm in a good mood today, so I didn't want to ruin my mood. Right? But nevertheless, you forfeit the mitzvah d'oraisa. So I believe it's the Rad there in Kriyat Shema who points out that the Rabbanan have the authority to undermine the mitzvah d'oraisa, which is a pella when you think about it. Like, for example, we have a sugya in Masechta, in the Masechta Pesachim that we didn't get to yet, about a person who's Makadish and Isha with Chametz de Rabbanan. Is there Kedushin or is there not? Do the Rabbanan have the authority to invalidate the Kedushin? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, that if he gave her Chametz, even though it's only Chametz de Rabbanan, and the Torah would recognize that marriage, the Rabbanan are mafkir the Kedushin, completely gone. She doesn't need a get, she can marry a Kohen, there are no repercussions whatsoever. And Chametz during the fifth hour, and so forth and so on. So we see, therefore, that there's authority of Chachamim to establish a requirement of Doraisa that would impact on a Doraisa. Does anybody know who wrote an entire like PhD thesis on this question? How many of you heard of Rav Yosef Engel? Did you hear of him? Okay, so he has a book called Asvin Doraisa. He was a gadol, he was a genius of geniuses, he lived about a century ago. And we have his Sefer Asvin Doraisa. He has a whole chapter dedicated to this issue. Do the Rabbanan have the authority to change and alter and undermine a mitzvah Doraisa? And the assumption of the Rishonim seems to be yes. But the question is, do the Rabbanan exercise? So in each case, the Rabbanan are going to decide how far they want to go. In the case, for example, of Haseba, if we assume that Haseba is part of the mitzvah, again on a Rabbanan level, is part of the mitzvah of matzah, and the Rabbanan instructed us to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, not through a technical achila, but through an achila of Haseba, then it's quite possible that the Rabbanan might have exercised their authority, and they made the mitzvah of matzah conditional on the Haseba. He assumes here that based on the Brisker Rav's analysis of the Rambam, that if Haseba is an independent mitzvah, it's not built into matzah, therefore you could fulfill your mitzvah matzah without Haseba. I'm not sure that that's so. Yes, I agree that there's an independent mitzvah Haseba, but I'm not sure that there's no mitzvah Haseba that's built into matzah. And the Rabbanim may have gone a step further, and they said that in addition to the general mitzvah Haseba as an independent mitzvah, as we called it, part of the Kiyum Doraisa of Laharus Atzmo, they established that with regard to the mitzvahs Halayla, you need an achila sheyeshba cheres sheyeshba laharosis akiru of laharosis atzmo. So on a doraisa level, all you need is a mechanical achila, but on a drabana level, you have to convert or transform that achila into an achila sheyeshba sefer yitzis mitzrayim sheyeshba chayav adam laharosis atzmo. And what is the agent, what is the catalyst that transforms your mitzvah of achilas matzah from a mechanical achila and upgrade it to the status of an achila sheyesh bar sipur? Haseba. Haseba is going to be the method to change, and it could be the Rabbanan said that if your matzah, your achilas matzah remains a technical shall I say, mechanical, external act of drinking without the, without conforming, without transforming it to the level of a kiyum of laharos asatzmo, then you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of matzah. What the Rabbanan did was, they implanted, they grafted into the mitzvah itself, the mechanical mitzvah, they grafted a mitzvah of laharos atzmo through a seva, and therefore you have now fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah without a seva. The Rabbanan said you are not yotze to the mitzvah of matzah. That's what I think is a possibility, at least a logical possibility. I'm not saying lamaskada, but I mean it's definitely a possibility. So when he writes lefi zeh, I don't know. I don't see the lefi zeh.
What is the translation of this term? Shar Chalaser Shtiyah said, "Im Hesef Arezim Meshubak Ve'im Lav Einay Tzarech." If not, he doesn't have to what?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Im Lav Einay Tzarech. Again, I'm going to just give you a Balabatish answer. Your question is much more profound than my answer. And that is, the Rambam says, "Im Lav," if you don't have the ability to do so, Einay Tzarech, you don't have to push yourself. But again, I'm sure that there's a... What I would do in this case is, again, I'm not optimistic, but at least as an effort, open up the Sefer Mafteach in the back of the Frankel Rambam and see if he has any comment on it. I'm not too optimistic, but I'm sure there's a lot more to that Rambam than meets the eye. So it's interesting, Rabosei, in the Siman of the Seder, there's one Siman that I can't understand what it is doing there. Every single one of the simonim, and by the way, the simonim date back to the time, I wouldn't say the time of Chazal, but it's very, very ancient. And it has to be taken quite seriously. Every single, what's commonly under the common denominator of all the simonim is that they all refer to a kiyum mitzvah. Now, it could be that in some cases you have to declare, is that a mitzvah that would apply the whole year round, or does it take on a special... personality on the Leila Seder, that's a tzarech iyun, you know, urchatz, for example. But there's one thing on the list that doesn't belong there. Yachatz is a chiyuv. Yachatz is a chiyuv. And by the way, yachatz doesn't mean a broken matzah. Yachatz means to break the matzah. Again, we're going to talk about yachatz in a different chapter. But which one, lechora, you could skip and omit it, and it would not in any way, you know, damage the completion of all the mitzvahs halayla? Shulchan Aruch. But now that we saw the Rambam, maybe we understand why Shulchan Aruch is there. Because the Rambam holds v'shar achilos, so it's imhesiv, hareza v'shuba. It means that I can integrate my seuda, right, my Shulchan Aruch, into the very fabric of the kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kach nirlani is tight. Now, in footnote number 10, he says the following, that Ktsas Raya Shem Mitzvah Sacherus Belel Pesach Mitzvah Ifnei Atzlo Tnai Bekiyum HaMitzvah. He wants to bring a proof that you could be Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah, for example, the Mitzvah Dalet Kosos, even without Heseba, which means you're lacking the element of Cherus, right? Laharos is Atzmo. From a Gemara in Pesach, the Gemara says, Shesa in Chai, Yidei Yayin Yotza, Yidei Cherus Lo Yotza. Hare Shechovas HaCherus Balayla Einam HaKevus. Now, once again, I hope you tolerate this, but I want to write a letter to the editor. Because that's not really how we should read the Gemara. When the Gemara says Shesan Chai Yidei Yayin Yotza, that doesn't mean that you go home and you go back to bed and there's no problem. What it means is that you yotze what's called a koshel bracha, and that can be yotze even with that very harsh concentrated wine. You remember they used to have those concentrated juices, you know, do they still have them? You know, you can buy like Tropicana orange juice and you have to add 4 cups to every thing, remember that? So that's what they had in those days. They had concentrated wine, it was hardly drinkable, and then they would dilute it. So the Mishnah says that, the Gemara says that Shasan Chai is Yidei Yayin Yotza. That's not the mitzvah of Yayin. The mitzvah of Yayin is Yidei Cherus. Because the reason why the Chazal established the mitzvah shtia, again, if you're talking about the brachos, you need a koshel bracha. So there are four brachos that form the fabric of the mitzvah of Haggadah, and each one of those brachos requires a kos. Correct? Because a bracha, if it has an element of shevach v'odoya, requires a bracha ala kos. That's called a koshel bracha. But that's not the mitzvah Dalit Kosos. The mitzvah Dalit Kosos is shtia. And in terms of the shtia of Dalit Kosos, I require haseva. So what's he proving here? It says that if he drinks yayin chai, then yidei yayin yotza. What does it mean yidei yayin yotza? Not the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos. What he means yidei yayin yotza means, as far as the kosher bracha is concerned, he fulfilled his mitzvah of establishing the bracha over a kos.
So it's not a bracha levatola that you made the bori prayer.
Okay, that again, that's Yosef, you're asking a complicated question. I don't believe for 1 minute that if you recite a bracha without a kos, it becomes a bracha levatola. But let me grant you, just for the sake of our discussion here, that you're right, that if you recite, let's say, for example, there's a kosher bracha on Sheva Brachas in Shiva Sivei Mishnah, kosher bracha under the chuppah for kosher kiddushin. Now, let's assume, which again, this is absolutely wrong, but let's assume, just for argument's sake, that he would have to repeat the bracha because he didn't have a kos. But what I'm pointing out is that although Yayin Chai is enough to fulfill Koshel Bracha, and that'd be relevant not just Leila Pesach and the four brachos, but be relevant in any bracha that you recite, but nevertheless, that's not the mitzvah Dalit Kosos. The mitzvah Dalit Kosos, says the Rambam with the Lefichach, is to fulfill the mitzvah Derech Eretz. And the Gemara says explicitly that on Yayin Chai you do not fulfill, with Yayin Chai you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Derech Eretz. So ask me the following question. I drank Yayin Chai, four cups, with all the four brachas. Do I have to drink the kosos again? Again, I might die from being shikar or whatever, so I overdose on Yayin, but what's the answer? Absolutely. He must drink Dalit Kosos. He's going to have to add water to the Yayin Chai and drink four kosos. I hope he'll survive it. Maybe that's what it means, that he had a headache from Pesach till Shavuos, you know what I'm saying? Because he drank Yayin Chai and then he realized he's got to drink another set of Dalit kosos.
But it says right here, Harei shechovat hachirut b'layla zeh einam me'akevet.
Where did he see that? That's the letter I'm writing to the editor, again, if you don't mind. You know, the Gemara says that if he drank Yayin Chai, Yidei Cheres Lo Yatza. So I don't know, he wants to say that it's not Ma'akev. What do you mean it's not Ma'akev? It is Ma'akev.
It's not Ma'akev for the Kosher Bracha.
Correct. That's something else. Again, Kosher Bracha, that's a universal mitzvah that applies every Shabbos, every Yontif, and every Simchas, there's a bris, you know, whenever it's a Kosher Bracha. That he was Mekayim even with Yayin Chai. But as far as the mitzvah Dalit Kosos, which is the mitzvah Shtias Dalit Kosos Derech Cheres, that you cannot fulfill with Yayin Chai. So now he wants to know what happens if I drank Dalit Kosos. It wasn't Chai, it was regular mixed wine, but I drank it without a seva. Did I fulfill the mitzvah Derech Eretz? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. There's no way of determining that. So again, I still insist that if the mitzvah Dalit Kosos Derech Eretz requires a seva, it could be that without a seva, I'm lacking the element of Derech Eretz. I haven't fulfilled my mitzvah of Chayav on the Laharos Asma, the Red Rambam formulates it, and therefore I'd have to drink the Dalit Kosos a second time. I don't know. Again, I'm not saying one way or the other, but he certainly has not. He hasn't convinced me.
Maybe a nafkamina here, because Dalit Kosos require that each one be said and properly placed in the Seder. You can't be.
But that's only b'toras kosher bracha. But if you drink the mezeh or zeh, yidei cheres yotzi, yidei yayin lo yotzi. Right. So the Gemara has two cases. One case is yayin chai, and there you're making the mitzvah of bracha, but not the mitzvah of cheres. Now we have a flip side case. What happens if you drink some mezeh or zeh? Right, shosam vasachas. It's called the Loshra Gemara. So there, the Gemara says yidei yayin lo yotza and yidei cheres yotza.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to say.
Just getting back for one second before I forget what I wanted to say. That if he would drink four kosos shel bracha that were chai, and now I'm telling you, he has to drink another four kosos. I have no doubt about it. Which is ma'ura v'mamayim, and that's for the purpose of cheres. He would not have to repeat the whole seder.
That's what.
Why? Because that's only a kiyum of cheres. That's like bevasachas yotze yedei cheres. And that doesn't require the Seder HaBrachos. As far as the Seder HaBrachos is concerned, that he was Mekayim with what? With Yayin Chai. Okay, fine. Now he has a rush. L'das ha-rush b'psochim im ochal matzah b'lo ha-seva lo yotza. Now clearly, what is the rush holding as far as our original question? Do the Rabbanan have the authority to be oker a mitzvah d'oraisa? We're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa here, Rabosai. Thank God we're left with matzah. There are very few mitzvahs that we're left with that are d'oraisa today. You know, we've got a few on Sukkot, and we got one on Pesach, and I don't know beyond that what we have. You got tefillin on a daily basis, and tefillah going to the Rambam, but there aren't that many. So let's cherish the mitzvah of matzah. Even though some of those matzahs that you buy, all right, whatever they are, we won't go into detail. But cherish the mitzvah of matzah. And now the Rosh is saying that you ate matzah below a seva. Says the Rosh, you forfeited the mitzvah of matzah. I don't know. Is that what the Rosh is saying? Well, maybe what the Rosh is saying is that you forfeited the mitzvah of what? Of a seva. Therefore, you're going to have to eat another matzah, but not matzah meat. So let me answer the following question. According to the Rosh, would the Rosh say that if I ate matzah below a seva, I have to eat another matzah with a bracha?
No, I don't think that's what the Rosh says.
Again, the language of the Rosh would seem to indicate that, because the Rosh says, ochal matzah below a seva, lo yatzah.
Lo yatzah, what?
Ah. That's it. Lo yotza. What are the two possibilities, Yosef? Lo yotza.
Lo yotza matzah.
Maybe what the Rosh means, to be argumentative, is lo yotza yidei mitzvah heseva. The Rabbanan want heseva, but they qualify the mitzvah heseva, make a contingent on achilas matzah. So therefore the achilas matzah must be my method of heseva. I can't use another method. Memela, I'm going to have to eat the matzah second time, heseva, because I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Heseva. Or alternatively, maybe the Rosh is activating this principle that the Rabbanan have the authority to establish a chiyuv, a condition in a mitzvah d'oraisa, such that if you forfeit that, you forfeit the mitzvah d'oraisa. And then afkavi is going to be whether you make a bracha. And I'll tell you that the first pshat, that he's referring to Heseva, is a very difficult approach. Even though, again, I have vested interest in that approach. But I think it's conceptually very difficult to say that he's going to eat another matzah, beheseba. I would say that second matzah has the status of what? If we use the Rambam's terminology. Shara achiloso. What do I mean by shara achiloso? What's the difference between achilas matzah and shara achiloso? No, again, before you get to, you're right, Broca, but I'm saying more fundamental, and then we'll get to Broca.
The allegation of the
Seba. No, forget about a Seba. I'm asking the following. The Rambam says that there's matzah and then there's shara achilasa. What does it mean by shara achilasa?
Non-mitzvah.
Exactly. Shara achilasa means where there's no mitzvah. Now, if we assume that when the Rosh says that ochal matzah below heseba lo yotzah, he means lo yotza haseba, but as far as the mitzvah of matzah is concerned, he fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Then what would be the status of the second matzah, which he's repeating, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of haseba? It would be sharachinos. And the Rosh could not possibly use the language lo yotza if he's talking about areza meshuvah. In other words, if the Rosh is requiring me to eat a matzah second time, and this time get it right, buddy, with Heseva, then the Rosh must be assuming that I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Because if the Rosh thinks that I fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah, there's no brach on the second matzah to replace the first one, and I'm only using that matzah as a means to fulfill my mitzvah of Heseva, then who cares? Take. Again, I don't want to say knedlach here because maybe some of you don't eat kibroth, so I don't know. But to take anything, you know, take whatever you want and just eat it best saber. This matzah has no status whatsoever. It makes no sense to say that matzah without a kiyum of mitzvah's matzah is a means to a saber. Okay, it could be there's a means to a saber according to Rama, who says the whole Shulchan Aruch is a means to a saber. But to say lo yotza and you have to eat another matzah, I'm not in the mood for matzah. If you're not in the mood for matzah, so what are you going to do? So according to the rabbi, at least you have another option. You know, there's another way of fulfilling the mitzvah of seva. I mean, you also have talit kosos. But I'm just saying you have the rest of the achila, and the rabbi says, areza mishubach, which we interpret as a kiyum of mitzvah as seva, and that be the case. Therefore, Abosai, I honestly believe that the rush is pressing that very dangerous button. You know, it's a button that, you know, it's like, you know, the superpowers, you know, that button that's, you know, you can blow up the whole world. He's saying that the Rabbanan have the ability to be Oker of Mitzvah Doreis. Where do we find the precedent, Rabosai? I mentioned to you the Ran in Brachos, in the case of the Mitzvah of what? Of Kriyat Shema. That the Rabbanan can be Oker, the Mitzvah Doreis of Kriyat Shema. The Torah says it's got to be Zman Shriva, it's got to be Zman Kima, and that's it. But now the posture is going to determine whether you fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema.
You're ignoring the gross option that there's a Kiyam of eating a matzah even beyond the Kazayas.
I wouldn't quote the Gaon in this case, I would quote the Nitziv. I'll tell you what I mean. The Gaon says that there's a mitzvah chilas matzah the entire yontif.
In which case the rush would make sense, because the second time you're eating it, it's matzah, not shari'ah. You can't eat mitzvah matzah again.
I don't know. I'll come back to that in just a second. I just want to quote the Nitziv. The Nitziv is medayik in the Rambam. And honestly, I don't believe he's right. But that's what the Nitziv says. The Rambam says, Ochal kizayis yotza. In the case of matzah, Ochal kizayis matzah yotza. Maybe you could find it for me. I think it's in the previous chapter, maybe Perek Vav. I don't remember where. So the Nitziv claims, what does the Rambam mean, Ochal kizayis yotza? The Rambam just sort of said that the mitzvah of matzah is tina kezayis. So the Nitziv claims that the more you eat, the more mitzvah you have. But only on that night. Only on the night of Tesvah. Again, the Gaon seems to expand it beyond. It's not really the Gaon. I mean, it is the Gaon, but it's way before the Gaon. Way before the Gaon. I don't know if you ever heard of a Rishon by the name of the Chizkuni. Okay, it's a modern Rishon. What I mean is that our grandparents did not have access to the Chizkuni. It didn't exist, but we have access to the Chizkuni. He was one of Chachmei Ashkenaz at the time of the Rishon. So he already has this Chiddush that there's a Kiyum Mitzvah of Matzah called Shiva. So comes along Sam, and Sam says, maybe that's what the rush means, that I can eat the matzah second time around, and I can be Mekayim my Mitzvah HaSeba, B'toras what? B'toras the Kiyum of Matzah. Matzah called Shiva. It doesn't make sense to me, Sam, I'm telling you. It sounds right, but I think it's wrong. I'll tell you why. The Gaon is talking about Kol Shiva. He's not talking about the mitzvah of Chayav Adam Liros as Atzma. Do you follow what I mean? So that the that cube is irrelevant. What example can I give you? Let's say... let me see if I can come up with a...
Hadar after.
No, I'm talking on Leila Seder. Can you give me an example of an achilu sheyesh ba kiyum? Just one second. Let me see if I can come up with a.
I assume achilas Pesach beyond the kazayas.
Yeah, but again, that's a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm saying if let's talk theoretically. If you could come up with a kiyum on Leila Seder that would apply way beyond the confines of Leila Seder, that would be irrelevant to our discussion. Because what we're saying is that as far as the mitzvah of Heseva and Chayav Adam Laharos Atzmo, we need an action, a Maisa Mitzvah of Laharos Atzmo. I mean, just because you call this a Maisa Mitzvah for some reason, if let's say you would come up with, in a theoretical world, with some mitzvah with a Maisa Achil on Leila Pesach that has nothing to do with Leila Pesach, that would not be a means or a hechatimtz, if you will, for the mitzvah of Heseba. That would be like the you know, like a so-called Shara Achilos. That's why I think the Nitziv is much more appropriate here. And maybe we could put the Nitziv in, again, if you accept the Nitziv, that although the minimal amount of matzah that I'm required to eat on the Erev Tochlu Matzahs is a kezayis, but the more I eat, the better. Again, I don't know within what the parameters of the Nitziv that we'd have to study. Is it only Toch Kedei Achilo, or even if I stop and then I eat another kezayis, I don't know. Okay, Rabbi, so let's put this on the side. And now we get back to Yichei Lo Bayis. Okay. So let's just review, Rabosa, what we know about Yichei Lo Bayis. We're now on Daf Vav, and the Gemara establishes that if a guy comes into my Rishus with his, as the Brisa calls it, Bitseko Biyodo, he comes in with his chametz, he's Eino Zokuk Levayer. I don't have to pay any attention to that. If, on the other hand, he comes in with Pikadon, meaning the Israel was Mekabel Achrayus, then Zokuk Levayer. That's called Ifkido Etzel. Then in the last piece of the rice, it says, Yichel Lo Bayis Ein Zokuk Levayer. So Rabbeinu Tam understands that this is a hemshech of the previous Bava in the Brisa, namely he was Mekabel Achrayus. And somehow, based on a drasha, which the Gemara derives from Lo Yimotze, even though he was Mekabel Achrayus, he's not obligated to get rid of the chametz. He's not in violation of Bal Yoroba Yimotze because of Yichei Lo Bayis. And somehow Yichei Lo Bayis takes it out of his, it's no longer Matsui, so that even though technically he's responsible for the chametz, and under that halacha we could apply the principle of Yimotze. Yimotze means that you have a responsibility for this chametz, even though it's not yours. But nevertheless, once Yichei Lo Bayis, and the Gemara adds the Schiris Kanya, so now the chametz is considered outside of the Rishus of the Shomer, and therefore, despite his responsibility, that's not included in the Lo Yimotze. Rashi, on the other hand, says explicitly, Lo Kibel Alav Achrayus. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam raises the roof. He says, if Lo Kibel Alav Achrayus, so what's Yichei Lo Bayis? It has no relevance here. So yesterday we saw the Ramban. The Ramban tries to defend Rashi against Rabbeinu Tam. So let's open up for a second to see the Ramban inside. And this you'll find on page Lamed Vav. Okay, it's the last paragraph on page Lamed Vav. The Ramban says the following, that in this case, he only was Mekabel Achrayus as a Shomer Chino. Just one second. Let's read inside. The Rahod Chayv Shekibel of Achrayus. How you dafke Shekibel of Achrayus to own him? Just one second. I'm sorry. I skipped a paragraph. I am Baramban on the bottom right. So Rabban says, "Rotsa Rav Zalafarish Tahach Raisa Dina Ketoni Klomar If Kido Etzel Stam Zokuk Levar De Chayev Bachrais Midin Shomer Chinam." But Omer Lo Hare Abayis Lefanecha Eino Zokuk Levar. The Rabban says that there's a stira between what we call Stam and what we call Mefarish. You know, it's what he actually said. The halacha is, based on a sugya bav metzia, that if I use a language of stam, that means you come to me with your object and you are deposited in my rishus, and I say go ahead, that stam, in the absence of any proof to the opposite, to the contrary, it's a kabbalas achrayis. Which kabbalas achrayis is it? What's the basic kabbalas achrayis of shomer? Shomer chinuchim. Fine. But here he contradicted that stama. Why? Because he said to him, you know what? You choose a place, a corner in my house, and you deposit your chametz in that corner. The moment he says that, he's indicating, I don't want to have any responsibility on your chametz. So basically, to understand the structure of the Brisa according to the Ramban, in his defense of Rashi, the structure of the Brisa is as follows. The guy comes into my rishus with his chametz. I didn't even say to him, Hanach lefana. I said nothing to him. Eino zokuk levayer. I'm not a shomer. I have no kabbalas achrayis. Hifkid etzlo, which means stoma. He didn't say a word. And he said to the akum, if you want to come in with your chametz, you're invited to do so. Find a place for it. That's called zokuk levayer because, says the Ramban, that's a case of stoma. And in case of stoma, we employ the principle of bav metzia, that implies a kabbalas achrayis of a shomer chinuch. Now we have Yichei Lo Bayis. Now we're going a step further. He didn't just say to the guy, you know, it's okay with me if you want to deposit your chametz in my rishus. He said to the guy, you find a place that meets your standards, you know, that it'll be very protected, and you place your chametz in that area. That, says the Rabban, is a stira to his presumed Kabbalah Sachrais, the mistum of Kabbalah Sachrais. We need a chair for Moshe here. You ready on a plane today?
Tomorrow at 7 in the morning.
Focus on the 8.
I got you your favorite muffin.
Alright. Now we get into the shayla. Can I eat it before Purim? That's a real love to the shayla.
I'll save it.
With that save it, without a save it. Okay. So the Rabban says that the Yichid Lo Bayis now is a stira to the Mistama. The Mistama would have assumed that what? That he was Makabal, the Yisrael was Makabal Achrayis as a Shomachinam. But now he says, Yichid Lo Bayis, you know what? You decide and designate a place that meets your standards and your security measures, and I'm not interested in Kabbalah Sakharis. That's how he learns Rashi. The problem is that Rashi himself is committed to the following position, that Kabbalah Sakharis for Chometz is only which level of Achrayus? No, if Rashi would have held Shomachina, which is the sheet of Rasajagon, everything would be wonderful. The problem is that Rashi goes on record, he's committed to the position, that the level of Achrayis that generates Valyurah by Motzi is what? Onsim! Not even Gneva Aveda. And therefore Rashi says the only reason Laman di Omar, in a case where I have a mashkin which is chametz that I violate Bal Yerubayis, is only according to the Man di Omar who holds Bal Chov Kona Mashkin. Because it's Bal Chov Kona Mashkin, I'm chayev ha'onsim, and therefore I'm chayev since the chametz is the mashkin. So Rav Salveitchik now wants to offer a whole new pshat in Rashi, and it's based on a pretty revolutionary idea. And that is that we have to reconcile two apparently contradictory principles. One principle says, "Lo yirol lecha, aval atoroi shel acher," that chometz shel nochri is not within the purview of your violation. The other pasuk says that even without lecha, you can violate by yirol by imotze on chometz shel nochri. When does that apply? So one way is to say that. When does each one apply? In other words, when am I allowed to have chometz shel goy in my rishus? When am I not allowed to have chometz kosh? And it depends. If a guy comes into my rishus with his chometz and nobody invited him in, then I don't violate bal yiroa bal yimotzi. That's derived from the pasuk lecha atoroa aval iya atoroa shelcha iya atoroa aval atoroa shel acherim. Because the guy had no permission to enter into my house. The very moment I invite the guy into my house, at that moment, I become responsible for the chametz of a guy in my rishus. Let's read it inside. This is on page Lamed Zayin. He says, the Shitas Rashi, the b'chol chametz shu b'rishus Yisrael, any chametz in the rishus of Yisrael, ha-Yisrael over, afilu hu shel akel. Now, until now, we had the going in the Pnei Yeshua that it means Chomet Shal Yisrael Vishus Yisrael. Now we're expanding it. We're saying even Chomet Shal Akku Vishus Yisrael is a violation of Bayerub Bayimotzeh. Aye, the Torah says Shal Choy Yatarav Al Atarav Shal Acherim. That's in a case where the Nochri. Can anybody give me a good English word when I trespass, you know, and I have no right to go into your Rishus? What's a good word for that in English? Trespass is okay? Okay. Good. So
he acted on his own accord.
Yeah. No, my wife is always happy when I get the English right. You know. So in this case, I just got lucky, I guess. Right. So if the guy transgresses my rights and he says I'm going into your rishus and I'm trespassing, whether you like it or not, with my chametz, is in that case that's not called chametz matzui b'rishus Yisrael. So again, we have two scenarios here. We have one scenario where the guy rings the bell. And we have another scenario where he doesn't ring the bell. If he doesn't ring the bell, he just comes in, ich bin du, I'm here, whether you like it or not, and he plops down his chametz. So that's not called chametz b'rishus Yisrael. And therefore, shel acherim Ataro, you're allowed to have the chametz of a guy in your rishus. But the very moment that I answer the doorbell and I say, come in, vosmach da guy, and I allow him to put his chametz down, at that point, it becomes chametz matzui b'rishus Yisrael. And chametz matzui b'rishus Yisrael is a separate violation of Ayurav Matzei, regardless of who owns the chametz. Whether it's a Jew who owns that chametz, whether it's a guy who owns that chametz, once that chametz ends up Birshus Yisrael, and that means I invite him in, then I violate Bal Yiro by Yimotz. So therefore, Aval in Munach HaChametz Eitzel Yisrael Birshus, Bazeh Gufa Hu Over Bal Yiro by Yimotz. So if the guy had the green light and the license to come ahead, he was invited to put his chametz there, and then you violate Bal Yiro by Yimotz. That's called Chametz Shal Akum Birshus Yisrael. And that's called Lo Yimotzeh. So again, it's very interesting. The same Lo Yimotzeh works in two different directions. On the one hand, Lo Yimotzeh means a kula. On the other hand, it means a chumra. And the chumra of Lo Yimotzeh is that it's Motzeh Biyadcha. Why is it Motzeh Biyadcha? Because you invited the guy to bring his chametz into your house. Here's where Rashi plugs in Yichei Lo Bayis. Mikavon shachomitz munach b'makom miyuchad liakum, and we're not sure if it means miyachom miyuchad with kinyanim or without kinyanim. Here's where Lo Yimotzeh teaches me that it's not motzeh biyadcha. Again, that very Lo Yimotzeh that was a chumrah that told me that chomitz shal akum, if you invite him in, that's considered motzui. That same Lo Yimotzeh is now generating a kula. It's telling you that there's a certain restriction, a certain requirement, a certain standard that has to be met in order to violate chametz matzui b'rishuscha. And that means that the guy enters in b'rishus, but he can put his chametz down wherever he wants. But if you designate a certain specific place that's called yiched lo bayis, in that case, the Lo Yimotzeh teaches me just the opposite. Eino chashuv kematzui biyadcha. Now here we have to understand what compelled Rashi to reject the pshat of Rabbeinu Tam. Why was Rashi cornered into a box, so to speak, and he couldn't interpret like Rabbeinu Tam that this last bava of Yichei Lo Bayis is a hemshech of the previous bava of Pikadon Etzlo, meaning Kibol of Achrayus? Says Rav Soloveitchik in this particular presentation, that in a case of where you own chametz, if you own the chametz, then you violate by your rabbi matzei by virtue of the fact that you own the chametz. Yiched lo bayis is going to tell me that it's not matzui. He's putting it in his, you know, the guy is putting the chametz in his dalet amos, so to speak, in his rishus, and therefore it's not matzui. But that's okay as far as the new mechayev for chemtzo shalacherim birshuscha. It's not birshuscha because of yichal obayis. But if it was your chametz and you would rent out space to the guy and your chametz is in that space, you have a serious problem of bal yirah bal yimotzeh. Do you follow? Al zelo mahani yichal obayis. Why? The chametz shekibel of achrayus havi kididei. The chametz di day gam biyiched lo bayis ovrin olav. It's still considered, in a sense, birshus Yisrael because it's your chametz. Now I'm not sure if he means to say it's your chametz and therefore you have rights to access the chametz. Do you follow what I mean? I don't know the laws here. It's very tricky. Let's say I was miyached a bayis for the guy, but it's my chametz. Do I have a right to say, well, I'm going to stick my hand into your cubby over there, Mr. Guy, and I'm going to take out my chametz? Maybe that's what he means. But anyway, the bottom line is, which is again a little bit ambiguous, he says, Li'olam hu b'rishus Yisrael. Why? Because Legabi the day, with regard to his chametz, is it's always considered munach b'rishuso, even in a case of yichei lo bayis. And therefore, Rashi has no option of interpreting the sugya the way Rabbeinu Tam interprets the sugya.
We have a concept of the Yisrael having achrayut. We don't have a concept of the goy having achrayut. The fact that you have your chametz in his rishut, are you trying to gained some kind of a achrayut on his part, that it's really that he has the achrayut.
Well,
the guy doesn't have achrayut.
Well, I would say the following. Let's say the guy would sign a shtar, a document in which he accepts upon himself the following obligation, the commitment, that if I fail to provide the proper security measures and the object is lost, I'll pay you for that. I don't think that that would, in any event, in any way, undermine the violation of Balei Rabbei Matzah.
You would still
be in violation of Balei Rabbei Matzah, because it's your chametz. The fact that he would pay you just because it got lost, that doesn't in any way reduce or diminish your ownership over the chametz. It's still your chametz. The chiddush here that we're saying is that in the case of Kabbalas Achrayis, where it becomes like kiddidei dami, because I have responsibility on this chametz, here yichel lo bais is not going to help. Why? And I'm not sure why, but again, the bottom line is that it's still considered chametz b'rishuso, even though it's yichel lo bais, because you own the chametz. So I'm just suggesting that maybe if you still own the chametz, it means that you will have access to that chametz, and therefore it's considered b'rishuso. Now again, when we sell our chametz, as I mentioned, I think yesterday, which kinyonim do we use on chametz? We primarily use kinyani karka on mechiras chametz. I'm just curious, out of my own curiosity, how many people in this room sell their chametz? Oh, that's interesting. Everybody. I'm a little bit in shock. Okay, so you guys don't hang around the brisket circles. I mean, you know, in the real fermaks, they don't sell chametz. They don't believe in the whole institution. I'm exaggerating. But it's like with Erevin, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like most of us will, you know, carry an Erevin, but you'll always meet someone who doesn't rely on the Erevin.
Yemenites.
What?
Yemenites. They don't sell chametz, they don't rely on the Erevin.
Oh, okay. But they're very, very consistent. Because mechiras chametz is a problem. Metaltalin require what's called a kinyan hagbo, or a kinyan meshicha. It's virtually impossible to orchestrate a kinyan yad, meaning hagbah mashicha, in the case of mechiras chametz. And I can give you 50 reasons why. So memela, the entire enterprise of mechiras chametz has to stand on what's called kinyani karka. That means that I have to be makne a piece of my karka to the guy, and then we could use kinyani karka, for example, kesef is called in karka. Maybe even Sudar could be a Kenyan character. You know, we have different Kenyan. We now open up the Pandora's box on Kenyan. And then the guy is Kona my Chametz, Agav, or what you call Chotzer, or Agav the Karka. So now what happens here? I have a closet in my living room and it's got Chametz in it. I sold the Chametz to a guy. Correct? So here I have a yichel lo bayis, but the chametz belongs to the guy. That's not the case of our sugya. In the case of our sugya, it's the Jew's chametz. What do you mean it's the Jew's chametz? The guy came in with his batzai. Why is it the Jew's chametz? And the answer is what? Because he was mekabel achrayis. And the very moment the Jew is mekabel achrayis, it's like it's virtually his chametz. So when I sell my chametz that's sitting in the closet and I do it in agav karka, now it becomes chemtzo shel goy, birshus agoy. It's not in my rishus and it's not my chametz. But if it's my chametz, then even if I rent him space, it's still birshusi because it's my chametz. Okay. Now Rabosai, how are we doing on the clock? We have about 15 minutes. Let's at least make us a chacha haschola on the new sugya for today. And we're on Daf Vav and Aleph, and the Gemara says the following. We're counting down from the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Hamafarish Vayotze B'Shayora, Kodem Shloshim Yom, Ein Zokuk Levayr, Tok Shloshim Yom, Zokuk Levayr. Okay, so after Shushan Purim, you're on a trip, you're on a cruise. You know, this reminds me of Rashi. Do you remember, for those of you with me, when we were learning Chanukah, the Roah has to make a bracha. So Rashi says, Kigon al-Amahalik b'Sfina. You know, as Rashi says that a boat is not considered a bias. You know, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Yishu Beso. anything that moves, I guess. You know, obviously, if you're riding on a camel, that's not a bias, right? But even if you're riding on a house, again, I don't know. Lubavitch runs around with these trucks with the menorah on it. So I don't know exactly how that works out. But Rashi at least says that a moving house is not a house. So now let's get back to our sugya. A man is on a cruise, right? He's a yotze b'shayara. So look, if he's riding on a camel, so then obviously he has no option of bedikas chametz. He has no bias. But if he's on a cruise, maybe he could check his cabin. Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
Cabin. Okay, good. I'm doing good today. I got trespassing cabin. I said, that's good. But no, the cabin is not called a bias. There's no bedikas chametz in a cabin. Again, you may have a chiyuv bedikas chametz b'torah shelo yovel yachlo. That's possible. But it's not the mitzvah bedikah. You would not make a brach in a cabin. Hotel room is more complicated. A hotel room is complicated because it might be a mokum shei machnisim o chametz, even though the previous fellow ate chametz from dawn to dusk. But hopefully there's a good cleaning crew, and therefore you can assume there's no chametz. I don't know. It's archi, and I don't know what the poskim say about bedikas chametz in a hotel room. Again, if you bring in chametz, that's a whole different story. But I'm assuming you came in, and you were very careful not to bring in chametz. So I don't know if you have to make a bedikah. I don't know. Anybody know what the poskim say about this? I don't know. In any event, now he's on a cruise. When did he depart on the cruise? After Shushan Purim or before Shushan Purim? If it was after Shushan Purim, Zokuk Levayr, he's chayv in bedikah and biyuv. Omar Abaye, hodi amar tok shloshim yom Zokuk Levayr. It doesn't make any sense to me, says Abaye. So what if he left after Shushan Purim? Why is he chayv in bedikah? That's not the time for bedikah's chametz. Lo amar and eloshadai to lachzar. It must be that he intends to return on Pesach. If he intends to return on Pesach, he's chayv in bedikah's chametz, but he's not around on Yudalit. Well, ain't I to lachzor if he's checking out of his house? Ain't zokuk levayah? But Rabbo say, will he violate Balyurabai Matzeh? Again, he checks out of the house 2 weeks before Pesach, and he has no intention of returning. But he's got chametz in the house. Rabbanu Shalom, Balyurabai Matzeh. He didn't sell his house, so you'd have to assume one of two things: either he made bittul, or alternatively, he was mafkir his chametz. Again, I don't know why he would be mafkir his chametz if he's going off on a cruise. I mean, he's not giving up his house. I don't know. So more likely, what Abai has in mind here is bittul. Okay, so ain't dai to lachzar, ain't zokuk levayah. Amale Rava, what are you telling me that this halacha of tok shloshim yom zokuk levayah is because he intends to return? He died to lachzar. Afilu mi tu bishvat. Okay, Rosh Hashanah lilonos. Afilu Rosh Hashanah, if he leaves on Aleph Tishrei, is now he's also chayv levayah. Why? Because he's not going to be back until the middle of Pesach. So he won't have an option of being mekayim the mitzvah of bedikah bismano. He's got to do the bedikah before he leaves the house. So a man leaves his house on Rosh Hashanah. He's not going to come back until, let's say, the second, the third, the fourth day of Pesach. He's got to do a bedikah before he leaves his house on the way to wherever he's going for Rosh Hashanah. Elo amar Rava, hodi amrit, kodim shloshim yom ein zokuk levayer, lo amar ne'el she'ein daito lachzar. So Rava says that if he leaves his house before Shushan Purim, mm-hmm, and he has no intention of returning, then he's potter from bedikah. So what's the significance now according to Rava, the halach of Shloshim Yom? We're talking about a case of ein daito lachzar. Here's where it falls. Here's where the difference is before Shushan Purim and after Shushan Purim. If he left his house and he has no intention of returning for Pesach before Shushan Purim, he doesn't have to do a bedikah, and he'll have to do a bittul. But if, on the other hand, after Shushan Purim he leaves his house, he has no intention of returning to his house, he has to do bedikas chametz. And here I don't know what's going on. I'm totally confused. What kind of chiyuv bedikas chametz is there in a case of someone who leaves his house before Yudalid ben Nisan? We have established, and it's clear cut in the Gemara, that the Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz emerges with Yudalit. If I rent a house to you, and you have the keys in your house before Yudalit, you're Chayv in B'dikas. If I'm holding on to the keys, I'm Chayv in the B'dikas. The Sugya Maskir and Solcher. The critical moment for the Chiyuv B'dikas is Yudalit. Now, good. If you talk about Daito Lachsa, so Rava says, Afil B'Rosh Hashanah, that I understand. It's Daito Lachsa, or he's going to come back in the middle of Pesach, he's going to live there with Chametz on his desk, if you pardon the expression, and you're telling me that he doesn't do a B'dika. That's impossible. But he's talking about Ein Daito Lachsa, he's not living with his Chametz, he's not going to be there with his Chametz, and now you're telling me he's Chayv in B'dika. Why is he Chayv in B'dika? He's Chayv in B'dika because it's Tok Shloshim Yom? And he's Ein Daito Lachzor? What do you mean Tok Shloshim Yom? What is Tok Shloshim Yom? I mean, Rashi gives a kvetch here, but I don't know. Rashi says, L'kama Mefarsh is a third of the wide lines. K'neged Sholim B'Hilchas HaPesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom Shkoya. There's a din that we have to ask and we have to learn the Halachas of Pesach 30 days before the Chag. Come Shushan Purim. I know people have this minhag. They open up a Mishnah Berurah on Shushan Purim. Which Mishnah Berurah? Hilchas Pesach. Fine. Therefore, what? May us chalalav lihizayir b'tzarchei haPesach. There's some sort of spreading here. You know, there's like a mushrooming in which the zman of chiyuv chametz, which begins on Yudalid, now mushrooms. It expands only in one direction. 30 days before the chag, and therefore I'm chayiv in bedika. No, if I'm chayiv in bedika 30 days before the chag, then what happens in the following scenario? Let's say within the 30-day period, I rent out my house. So he checks out of his house. It's Motzei Shushan Purim, and he rents out his house. Who's Chayv in Bedika? The Maskir and the Socher. Well, we learned the Gemara Daf Dalet. The Socher is Chayv in Bedika. The Maskir should be Chayv in Bedika. Why? Because he's like the Yotzei B'Shayara. He's leaving his house within the 30 days. He's Chayv in Bedika. But the question goes even beyond that. Rashi says on Daf Chav Zayin that when he does his Bedika, Tosh Shloshim Yom, Rashi says he's got to burn his chametz because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, ein bir chametz el esreifa. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda says ein bir chametz el esreifa, what mitzvah am I fulfilling by burning my chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda does not tolerate any other method of destroying my chametz. Tashbisu. Well, what does it say in the Pasuk of Tashbisu? Last time I looked, it says, The man is on Shushan Purim, and Rashi says he's got to burn his chametz. No, look, if you want to tell me that, look, maybe he'll come back on Pesach, I don't know what, he doesn't intend, his plans will change, he couldn't tolerate the cruise, he had to come back on Pesach, maybe he had questions about the kashrus, he had to come back on Pesach, so therefore get rid of your chametz. Okay, get rid of your chametz. I can give you 50 different options of how to get rid of your chametz. Now Rashi says you have to burn your chametz. Why? Because ein bir chametz el esreifa, which means that Rashi's telling me that to fulfill the mitzvah I have to do burning because tashbisu requires sreifa. How do you interpret the word tashbisu translated to English according to Rabbi Yehuda? Burn, baby, burn. On Shushan Purim, I'm being makayim the mitzvah tashbisu. The Pasuk says, Ach B'Yom HaRishon. I don't get it. Okay, Rabbosai, let's just summarize where we're holding. I gave you today, Sam, you get the Ashikoyach here, pages Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes. You have that? Mm-hmm. If anyone doesn't have it, then please come forward. Rav Soloveitchik here wants to know the following, and this is going to be our subject for tomorrow. If a person makes Bedika after Shushan Purim, because he's Tok Shloshim Yom, Zokuk Levayir, does he make a bracha on that bedika? Is there a mitzvah of bedika? Or is it just that I have to make sure that there's no chametz in my house? Now, it's a little bit odd to say I have to make sure that there's no chametz in my house. I'm not even going to be in the house on Pesach. Bittul al-Meh. There's no Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzeh. And Chashash of Shem Yovel Yochlo doesn't make sense because he's aimed Aitolatzor. So if you would ask me, you know, Mimarashach, I don't understand how a bracha would be shayach on Bedika after Shushan Purim. Because even if you're going to tell me that there's a chiv of Bedika and a mitzvah Bedika, I'm going to tell you wait for your dalit, like the case of Askir V'Socher. If you're going to tell me, well, I'm afraid that maybe you'll come back and if you'll eat the chametz, because lo bedilim in Eidshi. So that's himonis mi'isra. That's like we spoke about checking tolon. You don't make a bracha on Bedikas Tolon, because Bedikas Tolon is only a way of avoiding the violation of Achilas Tolon. You don't make a bracha in such a case. But nevertheless, Rav Soloveitchik found a Ritva, and the Ritva says that if you make a Bedika Tol Shloshim Yom, then you have to make a bracha on that Bedika, which indicates that there's a Chiyuv Bedika before Shloshim Yom. And that brings us full swing around to our question. We know that the Chiyuv Bedika only emerges on Yudal. Okay, I wish everyone a great day, and we'll pick this up in Mirza Shem tomorrow.